We start with an attempt to clarify U.S. foreign policy. The United States authorizes surveillance flights to gather intelligence about ISIS over Syrian territory, we learned this week. The threat of direct airstrikes surely to follow. But does an air war against ISIS in Syria end up helping Syria's brutal dictator, Bashar al-Assad? We put a number of questions to the U.S. State Department seeking more clarity about how the U.S. is confronting the ISIS global threat. On top of our list was this alarming assessment raised yesterday on our program by former State Department Special Assistant on Iraq, Ali Kadiri. Kadiri, you'll recall, said ISIS is well beyond warning shots. We can expect them to attack the homeland.
It's not an issue of if they come, it's simply an issue of when they will strike. We are at war, and we just, as Americans, have to unite and understand that this is going to be a long, costly campaign, but it's one that we have no choice in addressing. We can either pull back everyone and just wait for another 9/11, or we can take the fight directly to the enemy.
So we put this warning about ISIS, or ISIL, as the Obama administration calls them, and a number of other serious questions about U.S. foreign policy to the deputy spokesperson at the U.S. State Department, Marie Harf.
We, of course, monitor very closely whether or not ISIL will seek to develop plots aimed at the West, particularly the United States, which is really beyond the geographic area where they've been operating in Iraq and Syria. We're doing that right now. We've seen them say they want to attack the homeland. ISIL has come out and said that. We obviously take that threat very seriously. I think of particular concern right now is the many Westerners, including some Americans, who have gone to Iraq and Syria, have Western passports, and could travel back home and possibly carry out acts of terrorism. I also do think, though, that when we look at the threat terrorist organizations play, we need to be very precise with what information we know and what capabilities we've seen them display when we talk about the threat.
The head of ISIL, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, wants a war with the United States. Is it U.S. policy to give him one or to deny him one?
Well, 2 points on that. The first is that if people attack our citizens, if people threaten us, we will take the fight to them, and we won't be restricted by geographic boundaries when we do so. But I want to make very clear that this is not about ISIL versus the United States. This is about ISIL targeting and killing anyone in their path. They've killed a number of Syrians, Iraqis, Shia and Sunni Muslims, Christians, Yazidis, and now an American. So this is a fight that everybody in Iraq, in Syria, in the region, and indeed the rest of the world should come together to fight, because even though ISIL may want to make it about what the United States is doing, that's really not what we've seen on the ground here. We've seen them target indiscriminately anyone. We will play a key role, though, in pushing them back and really taking the fight to them.
So you're telling me it is a war, it's just the U.S. and everyone else in the world should be in it.
Well, we all need to fight this threat together. We need to do things like cut off financing to ISIL, which comes from not just kidnapping for ransom and criminal activities, but also from private citizens in other countries. We need to cut off the flow of foreign fighters to ISIL, working with countries around the region to not allow people to transit through their countries to Iraq and Syria. There's not just a military solution here that's clearly a part of it, but it's really a comprehensive solution. And most importantly, it's about building the capability of our partners on the ground, the Iraqi forces, the Kurdish forces, the moderate opposition in Syria. Those are all the kind of tools we're going to be bringing to this fight here.
One other point that Ali Kadiri made, he basically described Baghdad as already a rump state that is essentially a province of Shia-controlled Iran. Do you believe that? And is Erbil the new Baghdad in Iraq?
Well, that's some colorful language, to be sure. But what we've seen is actually quite extraordinary on the political side. We have a process in place where there is a new Iraqi government being formed, where Iraqi leaders from all across Iraq, from different parties and different sects, have come together and worked to form an inclusive government. That process is ongoing. So we believe very strongly that one of the best ways to fight ISIL in Iraq is for a new inclusive government to get up and running, to show all Iraqis that they will defend them, that they are fighting on their behalf, and really bring the country back together in a way it hasn't been in the recent past.
Marie Harf, Deputy Spokesperson at the U.S. State Department, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
So the U.S. wants the world to join the battle against ISIS, according to the U.S. State Department. Well, they will all be standing in line behind the army that has been fighting ISIS from the very beginning. You'll recall that's Syria and Bashar al-Assad. The authorization of U.S. reconnaissance flights over Syria that we learned about yesterday may be bad news for ISIS, but it's good news for Bashar al-Assad, who would no doubt love some help in defeating what has become his main enemy in the Syrian civil war. Back in 2011, you'll recall, the U.S. called for Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to step down. Today, it looks like the U.S. may need Assad in the fight against ISIS. Here to discuss all of this is Dr. Amer al-Azam, who is Associate Professor of Middle East History and Anthropology at Shawnee State University. He's a member of the Syrian opposition. Dr. al-Azam, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. Thank you.
So how do we deal with this here? Are we allied with Assad right now? Is that the de facto situation?
No, not at all. And I think the White House and the U.S. administration have made it very clear right from the very start that this is not going to happen. And I think it's very important to recognize the following points. Remember, the Assad regime itself only very, very recently started to actually take the fight to ISIS. And I'm talking in the last few weeks and maybe months. And right before that, it actually was accused of being in alliance with ISIS. And it was very much using ISIS as an ally of its own to fight the moderate forces in Syria, to fight the opposition, and essentially left it well alone. So that's important point number one. Important point number two to remember is that the Assad regime itself is incapable of really putting up any real fight against ISIS. The Assad regime is very well armed. It receives plenty of help and support from Iran and Russia, and yet seems has demonstrated no real ability to stand against ISIS. And more importantly, it doesn't have the type of forces needed, the type of military fighting forces needed, and it's going to have to bring in Hezbollah. So in essence, the U.S. and our European allies would be allying themselves with forces like Hezbollah and Maliki's radical Shiite militias who are actually doing the fighting for Assad right now.
All right. We're speaking with Amer al-Azam, who's Associate Professor of Middle East History and Anthropology at Shawnee State University. He's a member of the Syrian opposition. Well, you know, I'm a little confused here, because how do you thread the needle? How do you roll back ISIS and not assist Assad?
This is pretty much the problem that everyone's facing. This is the problem that the U.S. administration is facing right now. And really, we shouldn't be here. I mean, I can only just recall going back to the spring and early summer when fierce battles were going around the city of Deir ez-Zor in the east of Syria, not far from the Iraqi borders, where the same tribes that we also want to recruit on the Iraqi borders are also found on the Syrian side, and those were abandoned to their fate. So what really we need to do is, first and foremost, develop the necessary support for the sort of allies that will be able to help us fight ISIS on the Syrian side. And the Syrian opposition and the moderate forces from the Syrian opposition have been calling for this support for over 2 years now. Now, we hope that this will, without sort of saying we told you so, but we hope that now this will bring about a change, because really the only effective force, in my opinion, that can really take the fight to ISIS, that can act as that counter from the Syrian side in the same way that the Peshmerga, the Kurdish forces, are doing in the north of Iraq, that we have been able to support with airstrikes, are going to be the Syrian opposition. And so you need to support those guys. You need to relieve pressure on them, because right now they are fighting a battle on two fronts, you know, the ISIS on one side and the Syrian regime on the other. And perhaps that would be a way of bringing that process forward.
Well, Amer al-Azam, I mean, with all due respect to the I told you so idea, wasn't ISIS really a part of the opposition in the very beginning? Can you describe how they sort of, you know, wandered in and then turned into this force that really is confronting the entire world?
They were never part of the opposition. This is absolutely incorrect. I know the Assad regime would like to put out this idea. They were never part of the opposition, the actual, you know, when I think of the proper Syrian opposition. They are an al-Qaeda offshoot. It goes back to 2004, 5, and 6, when the Assad regime was engaged in actually fighting the United States and, you know, our presence in Iraq, when they recruited these extremely radical militant al-Qaeda types, trained them in Syria, and then sent them to Iraq to disrupt the Iraqi state building. And in fact, it got so bad that in 2009, Nouri al-Maliki, the same ally of Assad today, publicly accused Assad of killing Iraqis through sponsoring terrorist organizations like al-Qaeda in Iraq. It's those same groups, you know, that have drifted back and forth across the borders that were supported by Assad in the first place and helped the Assad regime help in their creation.
Amar Al-Azam is Associate Professor of Middle East History and Anthropology at Shawnee State University. He's a member of the Syrian opposition, which he takes pains to point out does not include ISIS. Amar Al-Azam, thanks so much.
Thank you.